What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of SWAC Talk, the show where we cover the SWAC inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Sunday, and we're going to talk about the Grambling State Tigers spring 2021 season. It was a very rocky road for the Tigers. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Before we get started, as usual, I'd like to throw out the socials, facebook.com/SWAC Talk, twitter.com/SWAC Talk 76. Instagram.com/SWAC Talk and SWAC Talk 76 at gmail.com. All kind of notification of update, upcoming episodes, and you know, any news that comes through. So feel free to get those a like or follow. Also, SWAC Talk is now on YouTube, so go check that out. The channel is SWAC Talk Show on YouTube. Feel free to check that out. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel if you haven't. We're up to 147 subscribers, so the page is growing pretty good. So go ahead and check that out. Like the videos, share them when you get a chance, and hit the notification bell on those videos to be alerted to any content that I upload. I do a series that I'm doing called SWAC Talk Time Machine, where I go back and look at old SWAC championship games and talk about them. This week we'll be covering the 2003 SWAC championship game between Southern and Alabama State. The last few weeks, we've been covering Grambling's early run through the SWAC championship. So that's there. And also, we will be uploading a condensed version of this episode of our spring season recap. So we'll have a Grambling episode up on YouTube today also to go with this more in-depth version. So let's go ahead and talk about Grambling, man. That season was interesting, to say the least. The Tigers finished 0-4 in the spring, which was Grambling's first winless season. As far as I can tell, I went back quite a while in the history, and I couldn't really find anything that showed that they had a winless season before, like the early 1940s, late 30s. So this was a historical season for Grambling. Even though it was a short season, an abbreviated season, it still was a winless season. They went 0-4 on the season, 0-2 at home, 0-2 in neutral sites. They didn't play a true road game this year. The season was ravaged by COVID, so that's also something that, you know, kind of hampered Grambling. I don't know how many more W's they would have picked up even if they didn't have this COVID issue. The team was kind of in disarray. They opened their season with their first game being postponed against Prairie View. They're supposed to open up against Prairie View in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. That game was postponed due to weather. So their first game of the season was on March 6th against Jackson State. They lost that game 33-28 when they fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line going in for the game winning touchdown. So they dropped to 0-1 at that point. They played in the State Fair Classic the next week on March 13th in Arlington, Texas at Globe Life Park. They were damaged to the Cotton Bowl, so they couldn't play there. They lost to Prairie View 17-10. March 20th. I think after the Prairie View game or after the Jackson game, Their offensive coordinator, Mark Orlando, he stepped down, so they named Kendrick Nord as the replacement. And then they played Arkansas Pine Bluff on March 20th, and they lost that game 48-21. They did not look that good. He was the new coordinator was let go, so that was another set of flux. And also in that time period, their quarterback Jeremy Higbottom would enter the transfer portal. So there was a little bit more up and down adversity for the Tigers. Canceled against Alabama A&M due to a COVID issue. No attempt to reschedule. And also due to COVID issue, their game on April 3rd against Texas Southern was canceled as well. So at that point, it looked like Grambling may not be able to play another game at all this year. They found enough numbers to head to Shreveport to play Southern in the Bayou Classic, and they got beat pretty handily, 49-7, to put a bow on this horrific season of theirs. So, like I said, an 0-4 season, nothing really good came out of it. didn't really look good, was probably one of the worst spring seasons that any team had. Just really full of turmoil and just not really a productive season for them. And I will say, I don't think this season was indicative of what Grambling is as a football team. The last few years, they've been a 6-5 type team. So they have started both of those seasons, you know, with losing streaks, but ended them pretty well. So I think, you know, I don't think Grambling is as bad as the season turned out. When you play only four games, you know, you don't give yourself much leeway if you don't win them all. So they, you know, it really probably looks worse than what it really is in reality. They did announce Eric Marty as the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. He was named after the season. He comes over. He comes over from Reed Lee College in California, where he served as the head coach for the past 4 years. He was the 2018 Golden Coast Conference Coach of the Year. He arrived at Reed Lee prior to the start of the 2016 season and rebuilt that program, also named the Tigers, which had, at that point, had just 9 players on their roster. He also coordinated the offense and coached the offensive line, so he wore many hats there. His team went 1-9 in his first season. Then they improved to 4-6 in 2017. In 2018, they went 10-7 and won the conference for the first time since 2009. He placed 5 guys on the all-conference team, including Offensive Player of the Year. He was tabbed as the Coach of the Year. In his final year, he guided the team to another 10-1 record. He served as the head coach prior to going to Reed Lee, as the head coach and offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at East Los Angeles College in 2015. He coached tight ends and receivers at Meadowdale High School in Linwood, Washington, which is where he played football. He was a two-sport athlete at Meadowdale. He played football and soccer. He played on a collegiate level at Chapman University, where he started 3 seasons at quarterback, breaking 6 school passing records and leading the team to back-to-back winning seasons. He played in Europe, and then he was named the most valuable player of the Austrian Bowl and finished professional career with a 39-8 record and 152 touchdowns. So he brings a really interesting background to Grambling, and he's obviously going to have a pretty good offensive mind. So we'll see what kind of production he can get out of this Grambling team, because this was a team who did not do well statistically at all. They were 8th in the league in scoring offense. They scored 9 touchdowns on the season. They had 1 field goal. They made all 9 of their extra points. They scored 66 total points, giving them 16.5 points per game. Defensively, they were 9th in the league in scoring defense. They allowed 21 touchdowns in 4 games, which was tied for the most in the SWAC. They tied for the most touchdowns with Jackson State, but Grambling gave up the same amount of touchdowns Jackson State gave up, but in 2 less games. They allowed 1 field goal and 18 extra points were made. They allowed 147 points, which was the second most in the league, also behind Jackson State, who played 2 more games. They allowed 36.8 points per game. Total offense, they were 8th. With 517 rushing yards, 789 passing yards, good for a total of 1,306 yards on 275 plays, giving them an average of 4.7 yards per play, which was tied for the second least amount of yards per play in the league. 9 total touchdowns, as I said, 326.5 yards per game. Defensively, they were last in total defense, 771 rushing yards, which was the second most allowed in the league, 1,031 passing yards, total 1,802 yards total on 263 plays for the opponents, giving the opponents 6.9 yards per play, which was the most allowed in the league, and 19 touchdowns, averaging 450.5 yards per game allowed on defense. Rushing offense, they were 5th with 161 carries for 517 yards. They averaged 3.2 yards per carry, which was the second least amount in the league. Five touchdowns, 129.3 yards per game. Rushing defense, they were last. 166 carries for the opponent, 771 yards. 4.6 yards per carry, which was the most allowed in the league. 10 rushing touchdowns, 192.8 yards per game. Passing offense, they were an eighth, 71 of 114, four touchdowns, three interceptions, 62.3% completion, 789 yards, average 197.3 yards per game. Passing defense, they were eighth, 60 of 97 for the opponents, nine touchdowns, two interceptions, 1,031 yards, 61.9% completions. They allowed an average of 10.6 yards per pass, 257 yards per game for the opponents passing. Passing efficiency offense, they were sixth with a rating of 126.7. Passing efficiency defense, they were last in the league, 177.6 rating. Kickoff returns, they were eighth in the league, averaging 15.5 yards per return. They had 13 returns for 202 yards. Punt returns, they were third in the league. They had five returns for 62 yards, giving them an average of 12.4 yards per return. Kickoffs, they had 12 kickoffs on the season for 577 yards for an average of 48.1 yards per kick. Allowed 208 yards on returns, and they had one kick as a touchback. And net kickoffs, they averaged 28.7 yards per kickoff net when you average in the returns. Field goals, Grambling was third in the league. They were 1-for-1. Extra points, they were fifth in the league. They were 9-for-9. Punting, Grambling was seventh in the league. They had 30 punts for 1,039 yards, 34.6 yards per punt. They allowed 143 return yards, 4.8 yards per return. 10 touchbacks, and factoring in returns, they averaged 29.9 net yards per punt. Defensively, Grambling allowed 18 sacks, which was the most in the league. That put them last for 105 yards lost. They were also last in the league in sacks by their defense with four for a loss of 24 yards. Interceptions, they were ninth, which is last in this case because Alcorn didn't play. They only had two interceptions on the season, which returned for 23 yards, averaged 11.5 yards per return. First downs, Grambling was seventh, with 35 rushing first downs, 31 passing first downs, and 9 first downs by penalty, giving them 75 total first downs, an average of 18.8 first downs per game. Opponent first downs, they were fourth, with 37 rushing first downs for the opponents, 37 passing for the opponents, and 2 by penalty, giving them a total of 76 first downs, an average of 19 first downs per game. Third down conversions, Grambling was sixth, 20 of 57 for 35%. Opponent third down conversions, they were last, 32 of 57 for the opponents, 56%. So you allowing 56% conversions on third downs, you're not going to win very many games. They, as you look at the numbers, they didn't rank high in much of anything. This was honestly statistically a below average, honestly a horrible team statistically. Fourth down conversions, they were sixth, with two conversions on five attempts for 40%. The opponents, they were fourth in opponent fourth down conversions, 2 of 5, also 40%. Grambling was fifth in penalties with 29 penalties for 235 yards. That's 58.8 yards per game. The opponents had 22 penalties for 281 yards, 45.3 yards per penalty, per game on yardage. Time of possession, Grambling was sixth with an average of 29 minutes and 28 seconds. So as you can see, you know, you're looking at a 4-game season, which, you know, is obviously not that great of a sample size, but the numbers don't look very good at all. Much that you could take away from this, they couldn't run, they really couldn't pass, they couldn't stop the run, they couldn't stop the pass. So they were just in a bad way all season. You know, any way an opponent wanted to do them in, they were able to do them in. They couldn't turn the ball over. They just couldn't really produce. And, you know, with the flux in the offense, you know, not really having a go-to guy at any position, even though they did have some really good backs that played well in previous seasons, it just didn't work. The offensive line didn't do a good job of opening holes up. They didn't do a good job of protecting, you know, playing two different quarterbacks through the offense upside down as well. Defensively, they just didn't have that Gremlin type defense, especially in the secondary. You know, Gremlin is usually known for guys that can get after the ball in the air, and they just didn't have that at this point. LaDainian Brooks was the leading rusher. He had 30 attempts for 167 yards. He averaged 5.6 yards per rush, no touchdowns, long of 41, averaged 41.7 yards per game. C.J. Russell, 34 carries, 148 yards, 4.4 yards per carry, one touchdown, long of 21 yards, 37 yards per game. Keelon Elder, 39 carries, 132 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, two touchdowns. His long was 39, 33 yards per game. Jeremy Higbottom, 30 carries, 58 yards, 1.9 yards per carry, one touchdown, long of 14, 19.3 yards per game. Elijah Walker, 25 carries, 10 yards, 0.4 yards per carry, one touchdown, long of 20, 2.5 yards per game. And Breton, two carries for 4 yards, 2 yards per carry, long of 3, 2 yards per game. Passing, Hickbottom finished the season as the leading passer, even though he went into the transfer portal after 3 games. He was 40 of 61, one touchdown, two interceptions, 65.5 completion percent, 380 yards, long was 40, 126.6 yards per game. With Walker, 30 of 52, two touchdowns, one interception, 57.6% completion, 332 yards, long was 61, 83 yards per game. Elder, 1 for 1, 77 yards, one touchdown, obviously long was 77, averaged 19.2 yards per game. Receiving, Clark, 17 catches, 156 yards, 9.1 yards per catch, one touchdown, long was 40, 39 yards per game. Ross, 13 catches, 152 yards, 11.6 yards per catch, one touchdown, long with 38 yards per game. James, 10 catches, 114 yards, 11.4 yards per catch, no touchdowns, long with 28.5 yards per game. Foley, 5 catches, 111 yards, 22.2 yards per catch, one touchdown, long with 77, 55.5 yards per game. Johnson, 7 catches for 100 yards, 14.2 yards per catch, long with 61, 25 yards per game. Richardson, 7 catches, 71 yards, 10.1 yard per catch, one touchdown, 32 yards with his long, 23.6 yards per game. Brooks, 5 catches, 41 yards, 8.2 yards per catch, no touchdowns, long with 17, 10.2 yards per game. Russell, 5 catches, 29 yards, 5.8 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 11 yards with his long, 7.25 yards per game. And Breton, 2 catches for 15 yards, 7.5 yards per catch, 11 yards with his long, 7.5 yards per game. Defensively, Matthews was the leading tackler. He had 30 tackles, Fontenot 26, Dunn 25, Powell 21, Mitchell 20, Martin 17, Anderson 14, Richardson 14, Estes 13, Foster 12, Green 12, Reed 12, Williams 12, Lewis 10, Sheffield 9, Fields 8, Stewart 8, Asidu 7, Boston 7, Carter, Dodson, Ricard each had 5, Britton and Lee with 4, tackles for loss, Powell 4.5, Matthews 2.5, Richardson 2, Reed 2, Williams 2, Green 2, Fontenot 1, Anderson 1, Foster 1, Sheffield and Carter each had 1 as well. Half a tackle for loss goes to Dunn, Mitchell, Martin, Dotson, and Cage. That gives Gramlin 24 tackles for loss on the season. They allowed 35. As I said, sacks, leading sack man was Powell and Lewis. They each had 1.5 sacks apiece. Matthews with 1 sack. That gave them 4 on the season. They allowed 18. And their interceptions were by Fontenot and Estes. Special teams, Urban had 22 punts for 812 yards, 36.9 yard per punt average. Long was 59, 8 punts fair caught, 6 punts inside the 22, 50-plus yard punts, 1 punt was blocked. McKnight, 6 punts for 227 yards, 37.8 yard per punt. His long was 56, 2 punts fair caught, 2 inside the 20. 150-plus yard punt and 1 punt blocked. So they had 2 punts blocked on the season, and they blocked one themselves. Field goals, Urban was 1 for 1. His long was 46, and he was obviously 1 for 1 for 40-plus. Didn't attempt any other field goals from anywhere else on the field. Their opponents was 1 for 2 on the season. They were 1 for 2 inside 30 to 39 yards, with the long being 36. Kickoffs, Urban had 12 kickoffs for 577 yards. Average 48.1 yard per kickoff, 1 punt touchback, 1 punt out of bounds. I mean, 1 kickoff on a touchback, 1 kickoff out of bounds. The leading return man was Martin on punt returns. He had 5 returns for 62 yards, 12.4 yards per return. No touchdowns, along with 17. On kickoffs, Russell, six returns for 86 yards, 14.3 yards per return. Long was 28. Burton, 4 returns, 68 yards, 17 yards per return. Long was 19. And Johnson, 3 returns for 48 yards, 16 yards. His average long was also 19. Elder was the leading scorer. He had 2 touchdowns, giving him 12 points. Urban also had 12 points, 1 field goal, and 9 for 9 on extra points. So, like I said, not a great season for Gramlin. They did have a lot of, you know, they had a lot of turmoil, but I thought this team still had some pieces that they could have worked with. Like I said, all the running backs were pretty productive the year before. They still have some pretty decent receivers. Quarterback is obviously became an issue when Hickbottom entered the portal, because you ended up with Walker, who is a talented quarterback, but he's inexperienced. So it wasn't a lot that he could do in that short time period. And then, you know, the offensive line didn't look good. Defensively, same thing. The line wasn't that great. Linebackers were okay. Secondary was okay. But, you know, that time that they had off due to COVID before the Bayou Classic really kind of wrecked whatever they could have came in the Shreveport with. And I think that last game really put a huge cloud over what the rest of the season was, because honestly, their first 2 losses were only by 8 points. No, excuse me, by 12 points. They lost by 5 to Jackson and 7 to Prairie View. So they were in both of those games and actually had the opportunity to beat Jackson. Even if they don't fumble going into the end zone, they probably win that game. Although I think Jackson had a fumble deep in Gramlin's end before that. So, you know, you never know, you know, if you want to play that if and and game, you know, it could still go either way. Jackson could have won that game comfortably, or Gramlin could have won that game. And if they won that game, maybe they win the Prairie View game. Or if they don't win the Prairie View game, maybe they look better against Pine Bluff. You know, maybe Hickbottom doesn't go into the portal. You know, you have to take into account, you know, the COVID stuff. So, you know, this was an odd season for Gramlin. It didn't end well. It looked really ugly. I don't think Gramlin's going to be as bad in the fall as some people think they are. You can never underestimate Gramlin. You know, if you think back to 2012 and 2013, I believe it was, Gremlin had two horrible seasons, and then they turned that around under Favre and won SWAC a couple times and played for SWAC a couple more times. So, yeah, you know, you really have to, you know, respect what Gremlin does. You know, like I said, bringing in a new offense coordinator, so that can help. We'll see. You know, I think this fall is going to be a rubber to the road type of situation. They're going to have to prove that they aren't as bad as they looked this spring. And that's going to be a tough task for them, but I think it's one that Gremlin will be up to. And we'll talk about that more in depth when we do our spring, do our fall season preview. So that's going to wrap up this show. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. And as always, if you haven't heard any of the previous shows, check them out in the archives. Anchor.fm/SWAGTalk also can be found on Spotify, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. I'm your host, Charles Wells. I'm signing out. I will see you guys on the podcast on Sunday. YouTube video is coming today and Wednesday, so feel free to check those out and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Later.